Today's sermon title is Christ-centered life.
今天所要分享的主题是以基督为中心的生活。
And I'm going to pick a passage from Luke chapter 17, verse 7 to verse 10.
我将会由路加福音十七章从第七节到第十节与大家来分享。
And as a matter of fact, this passage is from the recent daily Bible study.
实际上这一篇经节也是从我们每日读经来的。我就记得我们的刘医生也特别在这个经文里面，他有他特别的分享。
So I'm going to read this passage, and George is going to translate for me verse by verse.
所以我将会先用英文来念，然后我们会翻成中文。
Luke chapter 17, verse 7. Luke 17, verse 7. Suppose one of you had a servant plowing and looking after the sheep. Would he say to the servant, when he comes in from the field, come along now and sit down to eat?
你们谁有仆人耕地或是放羊从田里回来，就对他说，你快坐下来吃饭呢？
Would he not rather say, prepare my supper, get yourself ready,And wait on me while I eat and drink. After that, you may eat and drink.
岂不对他说，你给我预备晚饭，束上带子伺候我，等我吃喝完了，你才可吃喝吗？
Would he thank the servant because he did what he was told to do?
仆人照吩咐的去做，主人还谢谢他吗？
So you also, when you have done everything you were told to do, should say,We are unworthy servants. We have only done our duty.
这样，你们做完了一切所吩咐的，只当说我们是无用的仆人，所做的本是我们应分做的。
So as the sermon begin to unfold, you will realize the relationship between the title and this passage.
所以，当我们要进入我们的经文的时候，您就会发现我们所要讲的主题为何。
And first of all, I would like to mention one uniqueness of our faith.
首先我想与大家分享我们的信仰的一个独特性。
So the Christian faith is a faith of compassion and love.
我们基督教的信仰乃是建筑于一个有怜悯慈爱的心。
And you remember in 2004, and there was a huge tsunami.Struck the east side of the Indian Ocean.
如果大家还记得的时候，在2004年，在东印度海洋有一个非常大的海啸。
And 13 nations afflicted.
当这个海啸袭击陆地的时候，13个国家都遭受了这个天灾。
And in one day, 230,000 people lost their life.
所以就在一天之内，二十几万人失去了他们的生命。
And then the United States and the Western nations and many Christian organizations and countless Christians come to their aid.
结果就在这个时候，所有很多的西方国家以及所有以基督教为本的这些国家们都开始补助来救济这个灾害受灾的民众。
And it's very interesting that very small aid came from.The Islamic nations.
但是出乎意料的是，非常少的回教国家有伸出援手来加入赈灾。
And yet, most of the casualties were Muslims.
但实际上，主要受灾的民众人，他们原都是回教民族的国家。
And in Romans chapter 15, verse 1, it says.
那我们在罗马书十五章第一节这样子告诉我们。
So for those who are strong should bear the failings of the weak.
我们坚固的人应该担待不坚固人的软弱，不求自己的喜悦。
And not to please ourselves.
不求自己的喜悦。
And then what does it mean by the failings of the weak?
那我们必须要了解何谓个人的软弱呢？
The failing of the weak means if don't help them, they will fail.Very simple.
实际上就是说，当一个人软弱的话，你不去帮助他，他就会完全的失败。
But in Galatians chapter 6 verse 2, it says the same thing.
加拉太书第六章第二节也说同样的话。
And it said we ought to carry each other's burden in order to fulfill the law of Christ.
那里说到你们个人的重担要互相担当，如此就完全了基督的律法。
And the more I read the Bible, the more I love the Bible, because the Bible always gives us a very perspective, a balanced perspective.
当我阅读圣经的时候，我就越爱上圣经，因为圣经给我们一个很平衡的一个观点来处理我们的生活。
And on one hand, he wants us to bear one another's burden.
在一方面，圣经教导我们要彼此互相担当彼此的重担。
But on the other hand, he says each one should carry his own load.
但是另一方面，就是说每一个人就应该承担他们自己的担子。
So obviously, we have two kinds of loads.
所以实际上我们知道我们人生有两种担子。
And one kind, we need other people's help.
有一种担子我们必须要需要别人的帮助。
Another kind, we have to do it all by ourselves.
有另一种担子我们必须要自己个人要去承担我们个人的担子。
And for the first kind, because the load is too heavy.
属于第一类的是因为那一种重担实在太重了。
And for example, if you lost your loved one, and the emotional burden is extremely high.
比如说，如果你失去自己亲爱的家人的话，这个对你的打击实在过于你所能当时所能承担的。
And we need brothers and sisters to encourage one another to share our load.
所以那个时候，我们就需要弟兄姊妹来帮助我们一起分担我们心里的重担。
And recently, I heard from a psychiatrist. He said.Some people need 3 or 4 hugs a day in order to get through the day. Hugs.
Oh, oh. 他说，有一个心理学家就这样子说，通常一个人也许需要3到4个拥抱，他才能度过他那一天。
Now, yet another kind of load is the load that you have to bear all by yourself.
那有一种担子是你自己个人应该承担的担子。
And if you look at verse 7, the first part, it says plowing and looking after sheep.
所以我们如果再回到路加福音第七节这边说，这边就讲到放羊或者说你耕地。
And those are your responsibility.
这种就是属于你个人应尽的本分。
And your duty.
这是属于你自己分内的工作。
And today we said, I have a job.
今天就好像说我们今天自己有一份工作。
So if you both work for IBM, can you do your wife's job?
所以如果说你们今天夫妻两个人都为 IBM 做事，难道其中一个可以 替太太做事吗？
Even you can, and it's not right.
就算可以，这样子也不应当。
And today our job is more sophisticated.
实际上今天我们在这个近代的生活来说实在是非常复杂的。
And we have engineer, and we have a programmer.
我们今天有工程师，我们也有软件工程师。
Now why I start this sermon with a job?
为什么我今天所讲的分享的题目里面由工作来开始呢？
Because job is a very important part of our life.
因为工作对我们人生活来说是非常重要的。
But many Christians have a wrong perception.
但是很多时候基督徒对于工作有一个错误的观念。
And they thought job is a cursing from God.
很多基督徒认为工作乃是一个咒诅。
Now it's not right.
但是实际上这是不对的。
Do you know why? Because before Adam and Eve fall, God already assigned job to Adam.
我们所知道就是亚当夏娃在堕落之前神就已经给他们一份工作了。
And the only difference after the fall is the job getting harder.
那至于他们堕落以后，他们工作的改变乃是他们的工作变得更辛苦了吧。
Now, what kind of job that God assigned to Adam?
那我们必须要想想，在他们堕落之前，亚当接受了哪一种的工作呢？
And the Bible in Genesis says God wants him to take care of the garden.
在创世纪第二章里面就告诉我们，神要亚当去照顾那个园子。
Now the extensionof his job is that we have to take care of our mother earth.
实际上这广义的来说就是我们人类应该照顾神给我们的这个世界。
And then later on, from the ground, God created birds of the air and beasts of the field.
接下来在创世纪里面继续说到，神就开始用土造成野地里各样的走兽以及空中的飞鸟。
The very specific assignment.
那个时候他又给人一个很特殊的一个工作。
And God want Adam to give names to those beasts, birds, and insects.
那个时候神就要亚当为每一个活物取一个名字。
And Adam did it alone.
然后这个时候亚当就个人一个人把所有的活物给取了名字。
Without help.
他没有完全没有人帮助他。
So therefore, this is Adam's job.
所以我们知道这个工作是属于亚当的，这是他分内所应该做的。
Has to do it by himself.
所以亚当必须要自己来承担他自己的工作。
Of course, God will help him and give him intelligence and physical power to do this job.
当然，神给亚当智慧，也给他有体力能做他自己可以做的工作。
Can you imagine giving names to thousands upon thousands of animals and beasts?
我们可以想象神要亚当去为每一个不同几千几万个活物给他们命名吗？
And the most difficult thing is not only give them names, but remember their names.
不单单他要给每一个活物给取名，他还要记得每他取过的名字。
So the Bible teaches us that when we execute our job, we have to do it diligently.
所以是神从圣经里面就告诉我们，我们不单单要去做出我们该做的工作，而且我们要勤奋的去做。
And there's a very familiar verse. It says, "If a man will not work, he shall not eat."
我们也知道一个非常熟悉的经节告诉我们，如果人不肯做工，就不可吃饭。
And Karl Barth, which is a famous theologian, he said there are three.Primal sins.
那个一个非常有名的一个神学家 Barth 曾经这样子说，他说有三个主要的罪。
And the first one is pride.
他说第一个罪乃是骄傲。
And the second one is dishonesty.
第二个是欺骗。
Do you know what is the third one?
大家知道第三个罪是什么吗？
Slothfulness.
就是懒惰。
You know, in such a short list, laziness was one of them.
大家可以想象吗？只有三个罪，而懒惰就是其中的一个。
And I have a feeling, I'm not sure it's really a truth or not, but I believe many of you will share my feeling.
我自己有一个感觉，我不知道大家会不会跟我有同感。
And as for myself, before I came to know Jesus,I get a hunch that God already guide me and direct my life.
很奇妙的就是我在信主以前，我就觉得在冥冥当中，神已经不断的在指引我的生命。
As I prepare this sermon, my mind hark back to the early years of my life.
当我准备这篇讲章的时候，我的心就回想到在好久以前我当初的日子。
So during my high school years, I like to build things.
我记得当我在高中的时候，我就喜欢用动手去做东西。
And I like to build AM, FM radios.
我那个时候就喜欢自己动手做收音机。
And then I build very well those hi-fi system. I don't know whether this term still used or not.
我在那个时候就开始做这种所谓的音响。
And use vacuum tubes.
然后那个时候我就用当时所有的器材真空管来做音响。
So at my early age, I almost know what I'm going to do. I like physics very much.
所以在我非常年幼的时候，我就已经知道我将来要做什么，因为那个时候我非常喜欢物理。
Because I find that physics can explain things very clearly.
因为我觉得物理它冥冥当中给我一个条理，让我知道应该怎么样去做。
And those equations.Are very beautiful.
而且我发现物里面可以展现出一个非常完美的一种方程式。
And for the first time, I discovered science can predict things.
然后我又发现自然界的这些方程式里面可以让我预知某一些事情的发生。
So when it comes time for college admission, and I have to fill out a form and then write down my preferences.
所以在那个时候当我要申请大学的时候，我必须要填上我要进大学的志愿。
And this is how I did.
所以我就这样子填我的志愿。
First preference, physics.
所以我就填上我第一志愿是物理。
Second preference, preference, physics.
我第二志愿也写物理。
And third preference, physics.
所以我第三志愿也写物理。
So I tell my parents that I have certainty that I'm going to get admitted into the physics department.
所以我就告诉我的爸爸妈妈说，我非常有把握，我一定能够进物理系。
So when I received the admission letter, and it was a great disappointment to me.
但是当我收到大学来的这个收我的信的时候，我突然非常的失望。
I was admitted to electrical engineering.
我被电机系给收了。
So I have no choice.
所以我就没有什么选择。
But after I entered into college, I found out it's not that bad.
但是当我真正进入大学开始学电机系的时候，我发现并不是我想象的那么糟。
And there's a lot of things very much like physics.
因为我发现电机系里面很多的原理就跟物理是一样的。
So in my graduate years, I take quantum theory.
所以当我进入研究所的时候，我开始学习量子学。
I took semiconductor device physics.
所以我就开始学半导体。
And then many other mathematics related courses.
我又开始学很多跟数学物理有关的课程。
And on my own, I study relativity.
那我又自己又去学相对论。
And for the first time, I discovered the speed of light is constant.
这我是第一次我才晓得原来光速是永远是横速进行的。
And I did not understand then, and I still do not fully understand now.
我在那个时候并不完全了解，我到现在还是不能完全了解这里面的奥秘。
And、after my retirement, in addition to reading Bible, I also read some books about cosmology.
当我退休以后，我不单单继续读圣经，我也开始研究天文学。
I found out God used me to talk to many college students and explain them about God.
我发现神很奇妙的用我，开始与很多有知识的大学生开始交谈有关神的事情。
And I found out it's a wonderful, marvelous wisdom of God that He guide me.
我就发现这实际上是神他奇妙的智慧以及作为在其中里面不停地引导我。
And I did not know then, but I know now that job is really God's calling.
我那个时候也许不完全了解，但是我现在真知道工作也是神的一种呼召。
So our responsibility is to respond to God's calling.
所以我们的责任乃是回应神对我们工作上的呼召。
Then as a Christian, we must do our job with excellency.
所以当我们是基督徒的时候，我们真是要好好的尽我们的本分，做好我们的工作。
And not just to keep your job and maintain your livelihood.
我们做工不单单只是为了保一份工作糊口而已。
But to express God's glory through our profession.
但是要经由我们工作当中展现出神的荣耀。
But I must say that even job is God's calling, and it does not guarantee that there's no frustration.
虽然我说工作乃是神的一种呼召，但是我不敢说，一定没有你在其中不会有挫败感。
And time and time again, I find out those frustration is opportunity for me to.Come close to God.
但是实际上很多工作上的挫折，我发现实际上是神给我们一种机会，让我们去经历他的恩典。
Now in the English word job, is also called vocation.
在英文来说，工作这个词实际上也是代表一种天职或者职分。
And the vocation is the calling from God.
实际上职分这个意思就有包含了这是神对你的一种呼召。
Now in the ancient times, plowing and take care of the sheep is the job, is the vocation.
在古时候耕地跟放羊实际上就是一种职分，是神的一种呼召。
And today, our job is much, much more sophisticated.
但是今天我们所处的世界里面，我们职分是更复杂了。
We have computer science, computer engineering.
我们今天的工作里面有包含电脑，有包含电脑工程。
And internet.
也许我们还要面对网路。
And then life science.
我们还有自然科学。
And nanotechnology.
我们还有所谓非常微小的科学。
And many of things never heard before when I was young.
今天我们发现有很多不同的 工作是我以前从来没有想象也没听过的。
And many, many courses offered by the university was unheard of.
我们今天所在大学里面所有的课程是我们几年前从来没有听过的。
Now for these young people, the question is what kind of profession you are going to choose.
对于我们年轻人来说，你就要想想你将来要选择怎样的工作呢？
Now, if you're a Jew, then you'll only be a lawyer, a doctor, a loser.
如果你是犹太人的话，你就是你要不然就做律师，要不然就做医生，要不然就做个窝囊废。
Good. Now, in our church, and most of us are losers.
但是我可以说，实际上在我们教会，如果照这种水准来说的话，我们大家都是窝囊废。
But the good news is God loved them all.
但是实际上我们有一个好消息，就是神爱所有的人。
Now there's a story which was told about how people and help the child to pick the right profession.
在以前有一个这样的故事，说我们要怎么样帮助我们的小孩去选他们将来要做的工作。
Now the parents are very carefully set up a table in a big hall.
所以这个父母呢就很小心的在一个大的房间里面，在桌子上这样子摆设。
Now on this coffee table they put three things.
所以他们就在这个房间里面这个桌子上呢放了三样东西。
And they put the Bible there.
所以他们第一个，他们在桌上放了一本圣经。
And some money.
然后呢，他们放了钱。
And then a bottle of wine.
然后他们又放了一瓶酒。
And then they let the child, the toddler, came into the room from the far away from the table.
然后他们就让他们刚刚能够行走，刚刚可以走路的小婴孩，让他走到这个桌前。
So the young boy will have plenty of time to think.
所以当这个小孩慢慢行走到这个桌前的时候，他有时间去思考。
Now the story goes like this. One father administered this kind of test and then sent his son to the table.
所以有一个父亲这一天就这样子做了，然后让他的小男孩这样子走到这个桌前。
Now the toddler walk slowly to the table and within his reach he just stood there and think.
当这个小孩正要走到桌前的时候，他开始去想。
And first of all, he picked up the Bible.
结果他第一个选择的，他就选了圣经。
Now the idea is if you pick up the Bible, the father will think he will be a pastor or some kind of spiritual pursuit.
那这个理论是说，如果这个孩子他选择圣经的话，他将来很可能会为神工作，也许他会成为一位牧师。
Now if he pick up a bottle of wine, he may be a playboy.
那如果他选择的是一瓶酒的话，他将来可能就是一个行乐主义的人。
And on the good side, he may be an entertainment business.
他如果说讲好听一点，他也许将来在娱乐界做工作的。
Now, if this kid pick up the money, then he will be a business person.
那如果这个孩子他选择是钱的话，他也许将来是一个生意人。
Now, this little boy walk up to the table and survey the three things laid before his eyes.
结果这个小男孩走到桌前的时候，他就开始观察这三样东西。
And first of all, he picks up the Bible.
结果他第一选择，他先选择了圣经。
And then he take the money.
结果他继续又拿了钱
，and then open the Bible and place the money inside the Bible.
结果他就把圣经打开，把钱放到圣经里面
，and then they put the whole thing tucked under his arm.
然后他把圣经合起来，就夹在他的胳肢窝着
，and then he used the other arm to pick up a bottle of wine.
然后他又用另一个膀臂就抓了那瓶酒。
Now his father was deeply perplexed.
结果他的父亲看到这个情形就非常的困惑。
But the grandfather was very sad.
然后在旁边的那个祖父看见这个情况，他就有点难过。
And he gently talked to his own son.
然后这个祖父就告诉这位父亲。
Bad news, bad news. He's going to be a politician.
他说这实在不好的消息，他将来将会成为一位政客。
Now is this the way to find out God's calling?
那我们是怎么样发现神怎么样对我们的呼召呢？
And of course not.
我们当然不是从这种方法来发现神对我们的呼召的。
Now, but once the young people first have to know that you may have a dream career,
也许年轻人，也许你现在，也许你有一个梦想的一个工作。
Maybe a doctor, maybe a lawyer, I don't know.
也许你将来想做一位医生或者做一位律师，我不知道。
One thing you ought to know is that even a dream career does not necessarily translate to happiness.
但是我可以告诉你，就算你是你梦寐以求的工作，当你得到以后，并不代表你会有一个快乐的生活。
So having a right attitude is very important.
乃是建筑在你是不是有一个正确的态度。
And the attitude is that we are the clay and God is the potter.
我们所谓的正确态度就是我们必须知道我们的神是那陶匠。
And I believe in 2008, I had the opportunity to travel to Turkey.
我记得在2008年的时候，我有机会到土耳其。
And I have an opportunity to visit a fine carpet manufacturer.
我记得当我到土耳其的时候，我有机会去看他们织地毯的一个工作地点。
And it was very amazing that I have the opportunity to watch the entire process, the weaving process from the original material to the finished product.
我在那边很荣幸的，我有这个机会看见他们整个地毯的从制作过程，从线一直到纺织，然后到完成整个的地毯。
Actually, from silkworms to cocoon to silk to thread, and then to the carpet.
实际上我应该更推说，我一直推，我可以当时看见他们怎么样用他们蚕茧，然后变成蚕丝，然后他们怎么样纺织，一直到他们的地毯的完成品。
And there's a big room about this size.
那我到那边他们工作地点的时候，我就看见他们做地毯的地方大概就像这里教堂那么大。
And there's several rows of frames, workers.
那我在那边就看了几行的工作人员。
And those skilled workers, putting the shadow left and right.
然后我那个时候就
the shutter.
我们就看见那个那个纺织的工作人员用那个纺织棍用左右这样子纺。
And then the frame move up and down.
然后我们就看见他整个的框架从上到下一直不停的在动。
And then he hold three or four different colors threads.
然后我又看见工人用不同三四种不同的颜色正在那边纺线。
And、I had no idea what they are doing.
我并不知道他们在干什么。
But I can imagine if I come back 3 weeks from that day and I can see a beautiful carpet.
虽然在那个时候我完全不知道他们在干什么，但是我相信只要再过两三天或三四个礼拜以后，我回去的时候我将会看见一个非常美丽的一个成品。
Because the design was in the worker's mind.
因为它里面的设计，它的图形乃是在这个纺织人员的脑海里。
Now we are the threads.
实际上我们就像纺线一般。
And God is the grand weaver.
那我们知道实际上神就是那一位超越人所有智慧的那一位纺织的工程师。
And God has a very beautiful design in your life, in your life and in my life.
神就是那一位美丽的工程师，他要纺织那美丽的图片在你的生命中，在我的生命中。
And our job is to allow God to use us as a thread to weave a beautiful tapestry.
而我们的工作乃是愿意把神纺织在我们身上的事情成就在我们身上。
Now sometimes God's calling may not be attractive to you.
但是很多时候神对我们的呼召并不是那么吸引我们的。
And he may call you to be a pastor.
他也许会呼召你，叫你成为一位牧师。
And you may feel, it's not your choice.
也许你觉得你没有什么选择。
But one day you will feel this attack on your soul, and you get a feeling of inescapable, kind of feeling in your heart.
也许在那个时候你非常拒绝，你也不想听从神的呼召，但是你会有一种感觉神正在揪住你的灵魂。
Then God is talking to you.
当你心里有被扎有被揪的时候，实际上那就是神对你的呼召了。
And in that case, no matter how high the cost, you are willing to do so.
而等你有那种感觉的时候，你知道你不论这个代价是多少，你都愿意投入。
And that is God's calling.
那个时候你就知道这是神对你的呼召。
And I honestly say that today our youth are very smart and they are very intelligent.
我可以说今天我们的青少年是非常的聪明的，我相信他们的智商都非常的高。
And you have many, many choices.
你实际上你对你的人生可以有很多选择。
Now if you only one choice, life is easier, right?
如果你生命只有一种选择，生活实际上是很单纯的。
So the question is, you have to ask yourself, do you have the burden?
但是今天你必须要问，扪心自问，你到底有没有这个重担？
重担。And then you have to say, does it match the gift that God gave to me?
当你心里有这个重担，觉得有这个呼召的时候，你必须要想，神有没有给我这一份恩赐？
And do you have the kind of a glove?Hand in glove sensation.
那你有没有一种好像一个人戴进手套的这种感觉？
You know, sometimes the things are too hard for us to do.
有很多时候，我们将遇到一些事情的时候，我们觉得实在对我们太困难了。
But if you think that I am just a glove and the hand, the God's hand is in there.
当我们如果觉得我们就是一个手套，而神就如有一双手进去的时候，我们就有如鱼得水一般。
Then, no matter how hard the work, you are able to do so.
如果在那种情形底下，不论前面的工作有多么的艰辛，你都觉得如鱼得水。
Because God is doing for you as if you are doing for yourself.
因为那个时候，神在借着你做他自己的工作，而不是你自己在应付那个工作。
So I give you a very, familiar, a very easy to remember formula when you choose your college or your, profession later on in your life.
所以我想希望给年轻人几个建议，让你知道你将来要选择大学以及将来工作的时候，你要怎么样做决定。
And the key word is guide, G-U-I-D-E.
我可以告诉大家，你可以用几种方法，几列方程式，我们可以用英文的字母 GUIDE 来解释这几项。
G means go to God in your prayer.
第一个 G 就是来到神面前，用你祷告跟神说。
So for all of us, every decision we make, we have to come to God first.
实际上对我们每一个人，当我们遇到任何事情，我们必须首先来到神面前。
And then you,It's understanding the situation.
那 you 呢，就是要了解你当时的情况是怎么样。
Now God give each one of us a brain, right?
实际上神给我们每一个人都有一副脑袋。
So we have to use it to his purpose.
所以我们必须要用我们的脑去来应付神给我们的情况。
And then we understand the situation.
当我们这样子的时候，我们就能洞察我们现在所要经历的。
So this is why when you, before you go to the college, your parents will bring you to visit the campus, right?
这也就是为什么你的父母在你要去上大学之前，必须要带你先到大学的校园去看一看的原因。
Because they want you to understand the situation.
因为这些学校都希望，父母都希望你先能够了解那个大学的情况。
And then I stand for investigation.
那第三项 I 呢，就是你要去调查。
Once you understand the situation, you have to put time to investigate the alternative.
当你了解你将要面对的时候，你要必须去学习，必须要去探讨你要做的事情。
D is the discuss with the spiritual leaders.
那 D 呢就是
or Christians.
D 就是要与这些年长属灵的长辈们去讨论。
And I really think that you guys have a unfair advantage over me.
那我可以对今天的年轻人来说，今天在你们身上，你们实在有太多我过去所没有的，
帮助
了。
Yeah. You have a Christian parents.
因为你有一对基督徒的父母。
And your parents have gone through the way he almost want you to go through.
而且你的父母也经历过你们将要经历的种种的挑战。
So this is God's blessing.
实际上真是神对你们的一种祝福。
And E is execution.
那 E 到最后就是执行。
So we have a Holy Spirit dwell in our heart.
实际上我们每一个人都有圣灵内住。
So once you have done the four steps, you can execute your plan with certitude.
所以当我们经历前面四项都成就以后，我们就可以借着圣灵去成就这些事情。
And the principle is, if your will is in line with God's will,
实际上就是当你的心意与神的心意相契合的时候，
then his calling upon you has found a home.
那神对你的呼召就找到家了。
Another thing is you must be yourself.
实际上最重要的就是你要做你自己。
I heard of a story that a seminary professor and talked to the student and asked them to write down what do you want yourself to be.
我记得有一个神学课的教授叫告诉他的学生，请你写下你将来想做什么。
And one student audacious reply.
结果有一位学生就这样回答
I want to be Billy Graham.
那位学生就非常自信地说我希望能够成为格培里。
And the professor said to him,
那位教授就跟他说
You will never be.
我永远也不会成为格培里牧师。
Do you know why? Because God wired us differently.
你知道为什么吗？因为神造每一个人都不同。
Your DNA and my DNA almost the same, 99.99%.
实际上，你身上的 DNA 跟我身上的 DNA 几乎是99.99%相似的。
But those tiny differences is not a quantitative difference; it's a qualitative difference.
但是我们身上不同的染色体不是量的不同，而是它里面有一个值的不同。
And just as a sidetrack a little bit, a man and monkey difference are only 2%.
实际上我可以告诉大家，实际上人跟猴子它里面染色体的不同只有2%而已。
So therefore, we must serve God according to His design.
所以我们必须要服侍我们的神是根据神对我们的设计来行出来。
That means according to our DNA makeup.
也就是说我们必须要照着神怎么样造我们，我们去行神造我们的旨意。
You serve God to his pleasure.
那我们这样行出来的时候，我们就服侍神是基着他的喜悦来服侍神。
And I call this a gift-based serving.
那我可以说，那这样子我们就是按着恩赐来服侍我们的神了。
And this is our church's goal.
这就是我们教会的目标
yeah. So if you are fit for a certain job, do it.
所以如果你对某一份的侍奉是刚好跟你的背景契合的话，你就来做。
Or maybe you're not ready yet, but if you have the potential, then we encourage you to practice also.
也许你觉得你还没有准备好，但是你知道你有潜力，那让我们就一起有这个机会一起来同工。
But if you're not fit the job, don't do it.
但是你发现你如果对这个工作并不胜任，或者说你完全不适合，就不要做。
So please don't ask me to sing.
所以你请大家不要叫我来唱歌。
So gift is really a manifestation of God's design for each one of us.
所以我们的恩赐乃是神在我们设计在我们身上造我们的一种彰显。
So the principle is very simple.
实际上这个原则是非常简单的。
And you know Mother's Day is coming up.
我们都知道母亲节就要到了。
And you may want to express your appreciation by cooking a lunch for her?
也许大家想为着感谢母亲，你可以为你的妈妈煮一餐非常好吃的一餐。
Now, if you know for sure your mother likes, say, the beef noodle soup.
也许你知道你妈妈喜欢吃牛肉面。
Then don't make her lobster, okay?
那你就不要为你妈妈做龙虾。
You're wasting your money.
你如果这样做，你就浪费了。
So the next issue is, in our life, who is my boss?
所以我们必须要接下来要面对的，必须要扪心自问，我们的主人到底是谁？
And everyone has a boss.
实际上，我们每一个人都有一个老板的。
And even Obama has a boss.
实际上，我们奥巴马总统他也有一个老板的。
And for Christian, the answer is very easy.
实际上对每一位基督徒来说，这个问题是非常简单的。
My boss is God.
我们的主人就是神。
But sometimes we say it with arrogance.
但是有很多时候我们回答的时候是非常以骄傲的态度来说的。
And please don't say it to your boss.
但是千万不要这样子跟你自己工作的老板这样讲。
And don't say I tell you so.
也千万不要说是我告诉你要这样子讲。
And look at the Bible, what it says.
但是我们回到圣经，我们来看看圣经怎么讲。
And Ephesians chapter 6, verse 7.
但是我们看见在以弗所书第六章第六节这么说。
Serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not man.
不要只在眼前侍奉，像是讨人喜欢，要像基督的仆人。
Do you see the two aspects of this verse?
但是大家知道这边有两个不同的观点吗？
Serve wholeheartedly.
就是说你要全心全意的侍奉。
It referred to your earthly boss.
就是从心里遵行旨意来侍奉你世上的老板。
As if you were serving the Lord.
侍奉他就好像你在侍奉基督一样。
That means behind this boss, there's a higher boss.
也就是说在你世界上的老板的后面有一个更高的老板。
So when we work at your workplace and do not just pretend to work hard in front of your boss.
所以当你在工作的场合的时候，你不要等老板来的时候你才假装你工作的非常的忙碌。
And when the cat's away and the mouse play.
那当猫一走的时候，老鼠又活蹦乱跳了。
Because your boss is a representation of God.In terms of authority.
所以我们不要玩猫捉老鼠的游戏，我们要知道我们地上的老板乃是神在我们地上彰显给我们的一个神的一个权柄。
So if we respect our earthly boss, it's really a testimony with a redemptive significance.
当我们尊敬我们地上老板的时候，实际上就是显出救恩它后面的意义了。
And then another Bible verse.
但我们又可以看到另一节经节。
Ephesians chapter 6 verse 6。
在以弗所书第六章第七节这样说。第六节。
Obey them, that means the earthly bosses, not only to win their favor when their eyes is on you, but like slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart.
所以说不要只在眼前侍奉，像是讨人喜欢。要像基督的仆人从心里遵行神的旨意。
So you have to do a good job whether the boss eye on you or not.
所以我们一定要尽心尽力做我们的工作，不论我们的老板有没有看到我们。
Now in the 70s or 80s, I don't remember, that is a famous cartoon.
我记得也许在70年代或80年代的时候有一个非常有名的卡通。
And I...Don't remember whether it's from Campus Crusade or from InterVarsity.
对不起，是一个非常有名的图案。我不记得这是从哪一个基督教的机构所编画出来的。
Now I don't have a PowerPoint, you have to imagine.
因为我没有投影，所以我希望大家用点想象力去想象这个图片。
Now there's a big circle.
在那个图片里面有一个很大的一个圆圈。
So inside the circle, there's a chair right at the middle.
在那个圆圈里面正中央有一张椅子。
And then there are two other things. That is a capital letter I.
那在这个椅子，在这个圆圈当中，这个椅子上有两样东西， 第一样东西是一个字, 我。
And then, the cross.
然后另一样东西乃是, 一个十字架。
And then inside the big circles, there are many, many, the dots or stars, whatever you call it.
而这个圈圈当中, 我们又看见很多其他的点, 有大点, 有小点。
Now the meaning of the big circle is your life.
实际上这个图案所代表就是这个圆圈是代表了我们的生活。
And then this starts representing all the events happen in your life.
而这些点, 不论大小的点, 乃是我们生命当中所经历各样不同的事情。
And the chair is really a throne representing authority.
而实际上中间的那把椅子, 实际上就代表我们生命当中的一把宝座。
And of course, the capital I means I, myself.
那中间还有一个字, 我, 就是代表我们自己。
And then the cross, of course, representing Christ.
那我们又看见有另一样东西, 就是十字架, 那代表了基督。
Now this picture, this composition, take on two versions.
那这一个图画呢, 有两种不同表达的方式。
And the first version looks something like this.
第一张图片它乃是这样子。
The I was sitting on the throne.
就看见那个我那个字乃是在那个宝座上面。
And then the cross was pushed to somewhere within the circle.
那我们，然后那个十字架就在那个圆圈的某一个角落。
And in this version of the picture, you see those dots are randomly scattered in a helter-skelter manner.
当我们看这个图片的时候, 我们就看见那个所有的点都, 都是一个混乱的一个图形, 可以放在任何的地方。
So we're representing the fact that if you are the boss, if you rule your life, then everything happened in your life will be just disorder.
这个图片代表了, 当我们把自己放在我们生活当中的宝座上的时候, 我们所有的事情都是属于一个混乱的一个情况。
One day, a young man spoke to Winston Churchill.
有一天有一个年轻人跟丘吉尔这样子说,
And then he said, I want you to know, sir.
这个年轻人跟丘吉尔说, 丘吉尔先生, 我想告诉你一件事情,
That I am a self-made man.
我是一切从白手起家的。
And Churchill replied,
那丘吉尔就这样子回答他说,
Young man,
他说年轻人啊,
You have just relieved God of a solemn responsibility.
你真是让神少了一份头痛了。
Now, another version of the picture is like this.
那另一个图案乃是这样子。
The cross was sitting on the throne.
我们就看见那个十字架就在那个宝座的上面。
Representing your life is ruled by the authority of Christ.
就知道就是我们的生活乃是基督在掌权的。
And then the capital letter I was put in front at the bottom of the chair.
然后中间那个我那个字乃是在椅子前面的底下。
Representing you always bow down and worship Christ.
代表说我们自己个人乃是永远在神面前屈膝下拜。
Now in this picture, those dots are beautifully arrayed into a beautiful patterns.
但是当我们看这个图片的时候，我们就看见那圆圈里面不同的点乃是非常有规律、有顺序的排下来。So
this gives us a lesson.
那这个就给我们一个教训。That
is, if we allow Christ to rule supreme in our life,
就是当我们愿意让基督在我们生命当中掌权的时候，Then
your life will be in good order.
我们就会发现我们生命 当中所经历所有的事情的时候, 全部都有了秩序。
And you have peace and joy.
在那个时候, 我们就有平安喜乐了。
Now suppose you check in at the airport to somewhere.
也许大家想, 我们今天要上飞机之前,
And then you stay, you stood in line.
当我们在飞机场, 正要排队, 要, check in. 正要把你的行李交给航空人员的时候,
Now the suitcase was with the man.
那个时候, 你拿的行李跟你在一起。
Now for some reason, this man just walked away for a few seconds.
假设说刚这个行拿行李这个人突然转身走去离开这个行李视线去做其他事了。
And few seconds later, he came back and found out the luggage, the bag was lost.
当这个人一转身发现他的行李，不见了。
Now let me ask you, what recourse would you have should you lose your bag?
那如果说我们就是这个拥有行李的人，你会做什么事呢？
And nothing you can do.
实际上如果你在飞机场在那种情况你掉了行李，你实际上什么都不能做。
Because the luggage was in your care.
因为这个行李乃是在你的掌管底下所弄湿的。
Now just for example, you check in the luggage.
那如果我们想，如果你已经把这个行李交给航空人员的时候，
And you flew to Los Angeles.
然后那个时候你要飞往洛杉矶的方向。
When you get to the airport and then you want to pick up your luggage.
当你到洛杉矶的时候，你要开始要去取你的行李。
You could not find it.
如果在那种情况，你发现你找不到你的行李
，What happened?
那你会怎么做呢
？Don't worry, because the airline will find it for you.
你就不用慌张了，因为这个航空公司必须要找到你的行李。
In fact, they have the responsibility to find the luggage for you.
实际上，要找到这个行李是航空公司的责任。
So you know, in baptism.Many of you have that kind of background before.
所以就好像受浸礼一般，许多人今天在坐的这里，我们
Buddhism.
对不起，如果说是佛教背景的话，我想大家都很熟悉。
So Buddhism, in Buddhism, everything is in your care.
如果你知道佛教的话，你就知道你必须要掌管你生活上面所有的事情。
All the losses are yours.
是你要承担所有的责任
for,
得失都是属于你的。
But for Christians, we have another story to tell.
但是我们属于基督的，我们却有另一种观念。
We have Jesus Christ as our Savior.
我们有耶稣基督为我们的救主。
Our luggage is not in our care, but in His care.
我们的行李不在我们的看守底下，我们的行李乃是在我们主基督耶稣的责任底下。
And this is why Paul said with confidence.
所以这个时候，在保罗就非常的有信心的这样说。
I know whom I have believed.
我知道我所信的是谁。
And I'm convinced that He is able to guard what I have entrusted to Him for that day.
又深信他能保全我所交托他的，直到那日。
So let us turn to another subject.
让我们再转到下一个题目。
And we are gradually zeroing into the Christ-centeredness.
我们渐渐地把我们眼睛有如雷射一样，着重于耶稣为重心的这一点上。
Now again in the 70s or 80s, and my Christian life.Was grew up in those period.
我记得在70年代、80年代的时候，就是我那个时候开始，我认识基督的生命就在那个时候成长的。
And many of you may not know, but I clearly remember that there was a great controversy in the Christian circle.
也许大家并不知道，但是在那个时候，我们那个时候在基督教的伦理观念里面有一个很大的争议。
And this.Some people said church should go first, family second, and then your job last.
在那个时候，在基督教的圈子里面，我们经常有人这样子说，应该是神的国度，也就是教会为先，然后是你的
家庭，
然后是工作。
Yeah.
所以教会、家庭、工作。
That sounds reasonable.
这样子听起来也许非常的合理。
And the reason is from the Bible.
因为我们可以从圣经上面得到这样的一个结论。
Seek first your kingdom and his righteousness, and all this will be given unto you.
因为在圣经里面有一节经文说，你们要先求他的国和他的义，这些东西都要加给你们。
And then another came saying, no, 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 family must go first, church second, and then the job last.
但是很多人又有人说，不不不，不应该这样，你应该把家庭放在第一位，然后才是教会。然后才是你的工作。
And they said that not without reason.
他们这样子说也是有道理的。
If you look at the Bible, it's God's will that He wants to save not just the individual, but the entire household.
因为如果大家看圣经的话，大家就知道大神要拯救一个人，不单单拯救一个人，还要拯救他全家。因此家对是神要我们所要注意的。
And then they said that if you have a great family and harmonious family, then you can serve God more effectively.
而且我们也知道，当你有一个和谐的家庭的时候，你更能全心全意的好好侍奉我们的神。
Now the third kind is doesn't sound very spiritual. They said the job first, and then maybe family, church, and go after.
然后第三种观点呢，也许听起来并不是那么属灵。他们是说是你的工作为先，然后家庭，最后才是教会。
But for these workers like you and me, it's not without reason.
但是如果就像我们今天所要面对工作上的压力，这个也并不是完全不合理的。
And you and I know that we must work 24/7.
我们都知道，我们今天这个社会，我们几乎要全天候的不停的工作。
And weekends.
不单单一个礼拜五天，连周末我们都要做。
And midnights.
而不单单如此，我们晚上也要做。
And you can argue if I have no job, whatever I do, I cannot serve God.
也许你就是说，如果万一我没有工作了，那我就不能服侍神了。
Now, during the two decades, the pendulum was swinging from one side to the other many, many times.
所以这三方面的争议，在这过去二三十年当中，不停的从一个极端一直扫到另一个极端。
Until they are very tired, and today nobody argued.
直到最后，大家都对这样的争论发现实在没有意义了，所以我们在这个圈子里面，我们不再讨论这件事情。
And in the recent past, I all of a sudden thought of this, and then I asked my son.
我就在最近的时候，突然这个过去的这些争议又在我脑海里面浮现出来。于是我就跟我儿子讨论这件事情。
And Tim told me this way.
然后我的儿子 Tim 就这样子告诉我
，He said in church, Christ go first.
他就这样子跟我说，当我们在教会的时候，基督居首位。
In family life, Christ go first.
当我们在家庭的时候，基督居首位。
In your office, Christ go first.
在我们办公室的时候，基督居首位。
I think I'm satisfied with this answer. I don't know where he get this idea.
我不知道他从哪里得到这样的一种想法，但是对我来说，我是觉得我非常满意。
So during the IBM turbulence times,
所以当 IBM 正在经历非常工作非常恐慌的时候
，especially in the 1994 time frame，
特别在1994年的时候
，and I have to be honest with you, I was scared.
我必须诚实地跟大家说，我那个时候也害怕。
I have two children going to college.
我在那个时候，我的两个孩子正要进上大学。
And in the family, I have four mouths to feed.
那对于我来说，我必须要养活家里四口。
And sometimes I cannot sleep.
那很多时候我没办法入眠。
But one day I sit down and use my brain to analyze the situation.
那但是有一天我就坐下来，用我的脑筋去思考这件事情。
And then I fully convinced myself these things.
我突然就说服了自己。
With my mind and logical thinking.
我用我的逻辑思考去说服了我自己。
So I said, if God want me to stay in IBM, even the CEO cannot fire me.
我突然想通了，如果神要我留在 IBM 的话，就算 IBM 大老板想要把我赶走，都赶不走。
The condition is if God really want me to stay.
这个条件就是，如果神要我留在 IBM, 谁也动不了我。
If God doesn't want me to stay in IBM, even I work 24 hours a day, I will be let go pretty soon.
然后第二个，我又发现，如果神不要我留在 IBM， 就算我一天24小时不停的工作，工作的再努力，我也会要走。
Once I have this kind of enlightenment，
当我一想通的时候
，I'm set free，
我突然就得到释放了。
Before I cannot sleep because I worry about my job，
之前我一直为我的工作非常的苦恼，我没办法好好睡觉。
Now I still cannot sleep because I like my job.
那但是现在呢，我依然没办法睡觉，因为我实在太热爱我的工作了。
So let me tell you a secret. I always put a piece of paper or pen beside my bed.
让我与大家分享一个秘诀，我永远在我的床旁边放了一张纸跟一支笔。
And sometimes for some reason at night I can think of some ideas.
在晚上的时候突然也许我就有一个灵感。
And I write it down.
然后我就把我的灵感写下来。
And sometimes I thought that my desire was there's something wrong there, I don't know what it is.
而很多时候也许是我工作上面的设计，我没办法想通到底哪里出错了。
I wrote it down.
那我就把它写下来。
So next morning I did some investigation.
然后第二天早上起来的时候我就凭着这张纸开始继续做研究。
And you may think I'm too proud to say the following things.
也许接下来我要讲的，也许您会认为我太骄傲。
But I really give glory to God.
但是我愿意把这一切的荣耀归给我的神。
And so far, all the design I did worked at the first time.
我几乎我所有的设计几乎都是第一次就成功了。
And it's not that I'm smart because I'm very careful.
并不是因为我很聪明。或者说我很小心，而是因为我很小心。
Now let's go back to the quickly to the passage we read earlier.
让我们再回顾一下我们前面所读的经文。
Now the 17 verse 7 said, "Suppose one of you had a servant plowing and looking after the sheep."
我们回到路加福音十七章第七节这边说，你们谁有仆人耕地或放羊
？Now this refer to the job that we do outside the master's house.
耕地跟放羊都是在主人房子外面所要做的事。
Is it very much like the work you do at IBM?
实际上难道不就不像说我们今天在 IBM 所做事一般吗？
Now, in verse 8, it says,
第八节这边说，
In fact, the master said, prepare my supper.
那个主人就这样子说，为我预备晚饭吧。
So this is the work you've done inside the church.
实际上这就好像说我们今天在教会里面所应该做的事。
And then later on it says, get yourself ready and wait on me.
而且你要束上带子伺候我。
This is very interesting.
实际上这是一个非常有意思的经节。
Wait on me means we not only work for him,But we have to have time to give devotion to our Lord.
所以这不单单在事工上面我们要做工，而且我们有一份心要等候在他面前伺候我们的神。
And this is a quiet time.
实际上这就是一个灵修，个人灵修的一个时间。
And this is our weekly prayer meeting.
这也就是我们每周的祷告会一般。
And then verse 8 said, after that, you may eat and drink.
然后第八节最后说，等我吃完了，你才可吃喝。
Ah, this is the priority issue.
哦，我们发现这乃是一个次序的问题。
God has always to go first.
我们发现神必须永远居首位。
And then verse 9 says,
然后我们看到第九节，
Would you thank the servant because he did what he was told to do?
仆人照着所吩咐的去做，主人还要谢谢他吗？
Now, I don't know about you. I have a problem with this verse.
我不知道大家怎么想。实际上，当我一看这个经文的时候，我心里觉得挺不平的。
If I work for Jesus.
就想我为耶稣做事。
And I know he had no obligation to say thank you to me.
当然我知道他不需要跟我说谢谢。
But would it be nicer to say, hi, thank you?
但是如果他说声谢谢，难道也不是很好吗？
And Jesus didn't do that.
但实际上耶稣没有这样子做。
took me a long time to think about this. I always think about this.
但实际上我一直在思考这个问题，花了我很久的时间去想这个问题。
And then on the same page of the Bible, it talk about the 10 lepers, and Jesus rebuked the one who does not return thankfulness to God.
也就很奇妙，在同一章里面，耶稣医治了十个得大麻风的人，结果只有一个才回来跟他说谢谢，于是耶稣就斥责那九个没有回来跟他说谢谢的。
Now, why Jesus just simply say thank you and then set an example for us to follow?
诶，奇怪，为什么耶稣就不直接说谢谢，然后让我们做我们一个榜样，让我们可以跟着照着他做呢？
I asked many pastors, they give me answer, but never satisfied me.
我问了很多牧师，但是我从来没有得到一个我满意的答案。
Until last time when I prepared my sermon,
直到上一次我准备讲章的时候，
I was in the process of reading a book by Chuck Swindoll.
直到我有一天我正在读一本 Chuck Swindoll 写的一本书，
And then the title is Grace Awakening.
在那本书乃是恩典的觉醒。
And many things I forget, but this one sentence he wrote stick out like his thumb.
在恩典的觉醒这本书当中，突然有一句话突然抓住我的心了。
And he said it's really a heresy for the Christians that we always obsess on what we have done for the Lord and ignore what God has done for us.
我这其中一句话就是说，基督徒实在太在蒙蔽在一种思想当中，觉得我们是为了神，为我们为神做了多少事，而从来没有思考神为我们做了多少事。
Yes, of course, we have to work for God.
但是我们应该为神做事了。
But just imagine if every time when you do something, Jesus said, "Thank you, thank you."
但是你可以想象，如果我们每做这一点事、那一点事，耶稣都跟我们说：“哦，谢谢，谢谢。”
What kind of people we would have become?
那我们将会成为何等人呢？
And I confidently believe that we will become the kind of people that we obsess on our work rather than God's grace and blessing.
我相信如果我们成为那样子需要神跟我们说谢谢的话，我们将会成为一个假冒为善，认为我们可以以我们积功德来得到神的蒙召的人。
So by not saying thank you, in effect, Jesus is saying thank you to us because he wants to teach us the lesson of grace.
所以当耶稣不跟我们说谢谢的时候，实际上也就是给我们一个恩典，让我们学习到何为恩典。
So on verse 10,
所以我们看第十节。
So you also, when you have done everything you were told to do, should say, we are unworthy servants. So this verse saying that,We are servant, but we are unworthy.
第十节这边告诉我们说，这样你们做完一切所吩咐的，只当说我们是无用的仆人。也就是说，我们是仆人，不单单是仆人，而且我们是无用的仆人。
And in fact, we are undeserved.
所以我们根本是应该不应该得到任何奖赏的仆人。
And undeservedness means grace.
所以我们因为我们根本没有权利得到这个仆人的身份，所以我们当我们成为仆人的时候乃是一个恩典。
When we think of unworthiness, we think about God really lift us up.
所以当我们知道我们乃是无用的仆人的时候，我们就想到实际上是神高抬了我们。
And doing God's work is a sacred business.
实际上做神的工作乃是一个分别为圣、成为圣洁的一桩严肃的事情。
And we are sinners.
我们乃是罪人。
And God assigned a sacred job for us.
实际上神对我们都有一个分别为圣的旨意。
So therefore we must serve him with humility.
所以我们必须要以谦卑来服侍神。
With a worshipful attitude.
我们以谦卑敬拜的一个心态去服侍神。
And we have to wait on him with our quiet time.
我们必须有一个灵修的时间，安心的等候在神面前伺候神。
And not long ago, Pastor John gave us a very interesting advice.
我想在不久之前，钟牧师给我们一个非常有意思的几句话。
And he said, "You are a small church, a startup church."
他对我们说，我们乃是一个刚刚新生一个教会，是非常小的一个教会。
And then he said something that everybody remember, I find out.
我就后来他讲了几句话，我想我们几乎在座的每一个人都记得这句话。
And he said, "We first are visitors."
也就是说，当我们这个到教会的时候，我们每一个人都是客人。
Why? Because everyone is new.
为什么呢？因为每一个人都是新人。
And then he said, "You should not stay in that stage for long. You must become a host."
然后钟牧师继续跟我们说，我们不应该停留在客人，我们应该马上就变成主人了。
And the host has a responsibility to look after people.
因为主人就有责任要去照顾其他人。
And he must show hospitality to everyone that come to the church.
所以当你一变成主人的时候，你就有责任去招呼人，照顾每一位到这个教会的人。
But the most important of all that we all should ultimately become the servant of God.
但是最终的，我们每一个人将要成为神的仆人。
But let me boldly modify his idea a little bit.
让我大胆的把他这几句话稍微改一下。
And I would say, as a visitor, we must look for opportunity to be a servant.
让我们每一个客人，我们必须要寻找一个机会，让我们有机会能够做变成仆人。
And as a host, we must provide or encourage opportunity.For the newcomer to serve God.
而我们做主人的就应该制造机会让我们所有来到的客人有机会来侍奉神。
And as a servant, we must serve God wholeheartedly and with humility.
当我们是仆人的时候我们就要尽心尽意全心的侍奉我们的神。
And most importantly, recognize our undeservedness and our unworthiness.
最重要的，我们必须要知道，我们是乃是不配的仆人，我们是无用的仆人。
Knowing all these are the grace of God，
知道我们今天在这所有的一切乃是神的恩典。
The Book of Acts, chapter 11, verse 26 has this kind of story.
我们如果翻开《使徒行传》十一章第二十六节，我们就会发现这边有一段故事。
And it says Saul, that means later on was the Paul.
在这边说到保罗
Saul and Barnabas spent a whole year in Antioch.
这边说到保罗跟巴拿巴他们花了一整年的时间在安提亚
and taught great numbers of people.
然后他们在那一段的时间呢教导了很多的人
And then the question is what kind of things that Paul taught these people?
然后我们必须要思考保罗到底在那个时候教导了他们什么东西呢
？And it's not clear from this verse.
但是我们从这一节经节很难去了解保罗到底说了什么。
But if you surveil the entire New Testament, the 13 letters written by Paul.
但是如果你看整本新约福音书里面十三本，保罗所写的书信的时候
，And Paul taught these people to live up Christ.
我们就会发现保罗要这些人高举基督
to serve Christ
去侍奉耶稣
to proclaim Christ
去宣告耶稣
and Paul teach them to be obedient to Christ to worship Christ and to praise Christ
然后保罗告诉他们必须要
顺服
耶稣高举耶稣敬拜耶稣
and then love Christ
并且要爱基督
，and then trust Christ，
也信靠基督
，and imitate Christ，
并且要学习基督
，and then if you look at all these letters， and you want to sum up the theology of Paul， and I can say Paul's theology is a Christ-centered theology。
当我们看保罗所写的十三封书信的时候，我们就发现这十三封书信它里面有一个中心思想，乃是基督为首。
Now we know that the church of Antioch is a Gentile church.
我们知道安提亚教会乃是一个外邦人的一所教会。
Now these Gentiles saw these people are different from other peoples.
但是我们发现这个教会让其他外邦人看起来觉得这是一个非常特别的一个教会。
If these kind of people always live out Christ's teaching,
因为这一帮人一直都把耶稣的教导给活出来了。
And they said, why not we call them a little Christ?
所以这其他人就说那我们要不要叫这帮人小基督呢
Little Christ means Christian.
小基督也就是基督徒的原文。
So the verse continued.
所以我们就发现故事继续讲下来。
The Bible says, the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch.
所以接下来经文就说门徒那边的门徒就称为基督徒是从安提亚起手
Now in closing I would like to call your attention to one of the core value of the church
所以在今天的分享最后我希望再一次提醒大家我们今天这个教会其中的一个核心价值观是什么
As a matter of fact it's the first item
实际上是我们整个教会的核心价值的首要的核心价值
And I'll read it to you.
让我念给大家听
The big title is To focus on God's kingdom
这主要的题目是凡以神国为念。
And there's many, many specifics to describe what does it mean.
凡以神国为念底下有很多小节。
Aim to glorify God.
一切以荣耀主名为首。
Serve God's people.
倾心服侍神的子民。
Serve God's house.
服侍神的家。
And serve God's kingdom wholeheartedly.
服侍神的国度。
Aspire to expand the kingdom.
放眼扩展神国。
Build missional partnership with other churches.
乐与各基督教会一同传扬耶稣的福音。
Change lives to be missional.
以宣教为常态。
So it's my prayerful hope that this church become a Christ-centered church.
这也是我的祷告，希望我们的教会成为一个以基督为中心的教会。
Let us pray.
让我们一起祷告。
Dear Lord Jesus,
我们亲爱的主基督耶稣，
we thank you for your words which extracted from the Bible.
我们感谢你从圣经里面给我们的教训。
May you teach us that our life, let you rule our life supreme.
让我们知道我们应该让你的话语成为我们生活的首要。
And always remind us that we are undeserved, unworthy servant of you.
让我们永远记得我们乃是无用的仆人。
We are the clay and you are the potter.
我们乃是泥土，你是陶匠。
We are the thread and you are the grand weaver.
我们是线，你是那纺织的人。
May your name be glorified.
愿你的名得到荣耀。
We pray this in Jesus' name.
我们这样祷告是奉主基督耶稣的名。
Amen.
Amen.